Good morning. Today's daf in the Dharma is Pei Tes. We're on Pei Chesem and Beis. We're at the Mishnah. Nedah Managusha. Yakum Alao. So first of all, the Mishnah is opening up with quoting the Pasuk. The citation of the Pasuk is imperfect, but the Mishnah knows that. Of course, the Mishnah is just simply referencing the Pasuk. The Mishnah is not making a perfect citation of the Pasuk. The Pasuk reads, V'nedah Managusha kol asher asra al nafsha. Yakum Alao. So anyway, we're going to be talking about the neder of a grusha. So she's either a grusha, she's an amash, amana, she makes a neder, so what? So who could be made for? The answer is nobody. And as Zoran points out over here, that seems to be pretty basic information. In fact, it's so basic, one has to wonder, what is the Torah teaching us by telling us that the neder of a grusha and amana, no one could be made for? Of course nobody can be made for. This is now the conclusion of two parakim of discussion regarding hafara. Who can do hafara? Whoever has jurisdiction. Who has jurisdiction? So we've already discussed this at length. So this has been a two-week venture here in the last two prakim of the Masechta, prakims number 10 and 11. And so we know already the father, under certain circumstances, has jurisdiction. The husband has jurisdiction. So therefore, when she is a grusha or she's an almana, we already know she doesn't return back to the father. There obviously is no husband. So obviously no one could do the afara. So what happens now to the neder? So it sustains. But it's such obvious information that the Torah has to go out of its way to tell us that. We knew that already. So the way the Ran understands our Mishnah, the Pasuk must be telling us something, which is a Chiddush. What's the Chiddush? So that's our Mishnah. So our opening sugya today, it's going to be the first half of today's daf, is going to be, what exactly are we learning new from the Pasuk when it says that when you have a grusha, an almana, she makes a neder, so the neder sustains. You can't just simply read the Pasuk, kipshuto, because it's too obvious. There must be a chiddush. So what is the chiddush being generated by the pasuk? So ketzad. So amra reinizir lachar shoshim yom alfa pishenisis besoch lamid yom inu yachol afir. So the Mishnah says, I'll give you a chiddush, and that is we have a delay between the amir and the chalos. This happens all the time. We do this all the time throughout Shas. And that is that the Amir is done on day one. Now, usually the chalos takes place immediately. In other words, normally you make a neder, it's effective immediately. But what you could do is you could put a delay in. So we're so used to delays in our life that it's a davar pashut, right? I give this example a lot. Obviously, it bothers me, but I'm not going to lose sleep over it. Well, one day I may. And that is that you give instructions for a banking order, and what happens is that delay. In other words, okay, you'll see the funds transfer, but not today, tomorrow, the day after that, whenever they decide. So over here, so she puts a delay in the neder. So over here, so the amira is done on day one. The chalos is, let's say, 30 days later. That's what she says. Okay, good. And now what happens is that between the amira and the chalos, she gets married. So now, what are you going to say? Meaning, can the husband now be mefer? It's a great question. Meaning, the amira was done before she was married. The chalos is now going to take place after she gets married. So it really becomes this simple question. Very fundamental. What is the key point? Is the key point going to be the Amira? Is it going to be the Chalos? What the Mishnah is teaching us is, it's the Amira. The Amira is the key point. So, so the Mishnah is telling us that the husband can't be Mefer. In other words, she's not a Nazir yet. She only declared that the declaration of Nazir was before she was married. But now, right, the line happens in 30 days. In this particular case, she gets married. And so one could make the argument that, good, now we are looking at the chalos. The chalos is that the chalos is going to take place after she's married, and maybe the husband can be made for such a neder. Mishnah's telling us no, husband can't be made for such a neder. And we're going to do the same thing now in the other direction. Nadra v'hibur shosabal, we're continuing, we're on the very top of Pei Testament Aleph. Nadra v'hibur shosabal, may for la. Kate said, I'm rahari nizir lachar shoshim yom. Afa pishin is amon is garsha besoch shloshim, sahare zemufar. So let's say she makes a, same thing. She makes a neder, but puts in a delay. The delay is going to be for a month. And now the husband, she's married at the Amira. But by the chalos, she's no longer married. She got divorced. So she got widowed, she got divorced. Either way, it doesn't matter. So the point is that the Amira is a critical point in terms of hafara. And therefore, the husband has the right to be mefer. What's the husband being mefer? Meaning she's not a nazira yet. Okay, it doesn't matter. Meaning, even though the chalos is delayed, but the amira occurred while she was married, the husband hears about it while they're married, husband can be mefer at that point in time. Either there's a delay, I know there's a delay, But in other words, in terms of the critical point for Afara, critical point for Afara is Amira. Good. So the Mishnah, both ways, is making the same point. And then the Mishnah concludes with the following. Nadra Baba Yom, Niskarsha Baba Yom, Ve'echzira Baba Yom, Enu Yechola Hafer. So let's say the following. She had a particularly busy day. She made a neder. She got a divorce. And she got remarried. All on the same day. So the so now her new husband, Enu Yechola Hafer, can't be Mefer. Why is that, Klal? So the Mishnah here spells out why. Kol She'yatzal Rishus Atzma Sha'achas Enu Yechola Hafer. Because as long as she becomes an independent for one moment, it doesn't matter how long she becomes an independent, but sha'achas, just for one moment, she becomes an independent. So that's it. Her husband's relationship to the neder is totally cut off, even if she gets married, even if it's that very same day. So in other words, it is biyom shamo, but it doesn't matter. In other words, we've said time and again, the husband can't be made for bekodman. Any historical nedarim that she brings into the marriage, so the husband can't be made for. And over here, it's not ancient history. It's modern history. In other words, she made the neder earlier today. Yeah, but earlier today, she was married, but subsequently divorced, and now remarried. So it doesn't matter that it was earlier today. Meaning as long as there was Shah Achas, where she was no longer in the Rishus Baal, and now, even though she is married now, and she is under jurisdiction, but it doesn't matter. The husband can only be made for nedarim, only from marriage onward. Anything previously, any historical nedarim, husband can't be mefer. Okay. Good. So over here in our Mishnah, there really are two critical points of the Mishnah. One is that when there's an amir and there's a chalos and they're not in the same day and there's a delayed chalos, so what becomes critical point for hafara? Amira. And the second point of the Mishnah is that if there's shah achas where she becomes an independent, so even if subsequently she gets married, the husband can't be mefer kodmim, even if Kodman were still on that very same day. Good. Tanya, we're going to start off with the Braisa. Manu Grusha Hashemra. Harin Nizir Lechesh Enasei Venises. Rabbi Shmuel Amar Yafer, Rabbi Kivar Amar Lo Yafer. Okay, so here in the Braisa, we're going to do the same thing. There is, however, a subtle difference between the Braisa and our Mishnah, and let's point it out right now, because this subtle difference, the Gemara eventually is going to make a bigger deal about it. And that is in our Mishnah, so there's an Amir, there's a Chalos. And they're delayed. Now, what is delaying them? Time. So she says that I want to be a Nazira, but she says, but I don't want it to take effect until 30 days. Okay. So the delay is a function of time. Here in the Braisa, there's also a delay, but the delay is going to be a function of an event. Now, when she says, in other words, the case is, right? Harini Nazira lechisha enase. Right? How am I going to celebrate my new chasna? All right. In other words, right now, currently, I'm a single. Right. If you don't mind, I'm just going to give a little drama over here. Right. She's been dating for a long time. She really wants to get married, and she's begging a Kaddish Baruch Hu, right? Make it happen. And on top of that, she says, you know what? I'm going to make a commitment that when I get married, I'm going to become a Nazira. Oh, okay, fine. So she makes a commitment now. The chalos will take place later. But instead of the delay being a function of time, the delay is a function of an event. Yeah. Okay, good. So now, mazel tov, she gets engaged, she gets married. Second stage of marriage. Okay, good. Now what happens? So her neder is going to kick in. Now the husband could very well be not be happy with her being a nazir, so he wants to be mefer. Can he be mefer? So here we have a machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva says, no, can't be mefer. And Rabbi Shmuel says, can be mefer. So what's the machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yishmael? It's really simple. And that is, what are we following for Hafara? Do we follow Amira or do we follow Chalos? Rabbi Akiva says we follow Amira. And Rabbi Yishmael says we follow Chalos. Since according to Rabbi Akiva, we follow Amira, the Amira occurred before she was married. So therefore, she was not under his jurisdiction during Amira. Husband can't be Mefer. According to Rabbi Yishmael, we're going to be following Chalos. Since the Chalos occurs after they're married, so therefore the husband can be Mefer. It's really straightforward. Visimana yalili. So you're going to find something really strange over here. The Gemara is giving us a mnemonic. Giving us a mnemonic is not strange. It happens throughout Shas. Meaning we're going to try to commit all this to memory. It's a lot to commit to memory. But in other words, there are memory aids that are called mnemonics. So over here, the Gemara gives us a mnemonic. Yud, lamed, lamed, yud. Now this mnemonic, it requires a lot of work in order for this mnemonic to help. Because what does the yud, lamed, lamed, yud stand for? It's funny, the Ron does not comment on the simon. I'm going to guess, and I reserve the right to be wrong, as always. I'm going to guess the Ron didn't have this girsa in our Gemara. But the Mefarish, which I rarely quote, the Mefarish had this girsa in the Gemara, v'siman chayalili, klamar baba rishona tini yafer, v'hadar lo yafer. So the Yud Lamed, Yud stands for yafer, and the Lamed stands for lo yafer. And then, subsequently, because we haven't gotten to the Sefer yet, we haven't gotten to the second half of the Brisa, but then that's the Lamed Yud. That's the lo yafer and yafer. So, you want a mnemonic that requires a lot of work, right? PEMDAS does not require a lot of work, all right? For those of you who remember your high school math, right? Probably elementary school math. But anyway, but a mnemonic, however, that requires a lot of work. So you have yafer, lo yafer. Then you have lo yafer, yafer. You have to now remember machlok is between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. You have to remember what the Baba Rishona is, what the second Baba is. You then have to remember whose position was stated first. So there's a lot of things you have to remember in order for the mnemonic to play out. Once you have everything in aligned, mnemonic is great. Okay. Anyway. We're now continuing in the Brisa, right? If you forgot the mnemonic already, all right, I'll forgive you. So now we're in the second half of the Brisa. It's going to be the same thing, just inverted. So she's a married woman, and she says, "I'm going to be Nizir Lechesha Esgareish." Right? She's looking forward to her divorce. Okay, Rachmanis, meaning a real Rachmanis, but she's looking forward to her divorce, and she's ready to make the commitment, the big commitment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if it can help me make the divorce happen, I'm going to be a Nazira post-divorce. So again, the commitment is now. The Amira is now, while she's married. And the Chalos is going to be after she's married. Can the husband be made for it? We know what everyone's going to say. Let's read it inside. So, Vinizgar Shah, Rabbi Shmuel Amar Lo Yafer, Rabbi Kiva Amar Yafer. So here, Machlok is Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. And again, everything plays out exactly as expected, according to Rabbi Yishmael. So what's significant for Hafara? Chalos. When is the Chalos? After she's divorced. Meaning, the husband no longer can be Mefer. He's no longer the husband. Mashenkin, according to Rabbi Akiva, he can be Mefer the Neder. Why? Because what's significant for Hafara? Amira. And the Amira is while they were married. Okay. I'm Rabbi Yishmael, and here now, we're going to go back and forth between the Tanayim. Meaning, which is significant for Hafara? Amira Chalos. Well, let's read the Pesukim. That's exactly what we're going to do now. We'll read the Pesukim and see which reads better in the Pesukim. Am Rabbi Shmuel Harei Hu Omer. So here he focuses on the following. V'neder amana grusha. And ashe aneder b'shas amnus v'gerishin. So the actual neder itself, meaning the chalos haneder. Meaning when the Torah describes the neder, so presumably it's talking about when it actually actualizes, when it takes effect, the chalos. And Rabbi Kiva Savar, Harei Yomer, Rabbi Kiva says, look, I have a pasuk. Kol asher asra al nafsha. ... Ashe isure neder b'shas amanas v'girushin. So the isure neder, meaning when she is effecting the neder, i.e. amira. So in other words, basically, if I'm reading the pasuk critically, like the Tanaim are doing, so what do you have? You have mixed signals in the pasuk. And then what we're not going to do, but because quite frankly, I don't know how to do this, but then you have to go over the back and forth, meaning what's Rabbi Akiva going to do with Rabbi Shmuel's pasuk, and vice versa. And the Gemara traditionally the Gemara goes back and forth, right? How does he understand his pasuk? How does he understand his phrase? The Gemara doesn't do it over here. I'm not doing it now because I have nothing to say about it. But anyway, so Amar Rav Chista Masnisin Rabbi Akiva here. So now we know about the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. So Rav Chista does what seems to be extraordinarily straightforward, and that is go back to our Mishnah. Now that we know it's the machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, who is our Mishnah following? Simple question. What seems to be a really simple answer. Our Mishnah is following the sheet of Rabbi Kiva. Why? Amira. Meaning we now know that the machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, for our far purposes, what's critical? So Rabbi Akiva says Amira. Rabbi Shmuel says Chalos. You go back our Mishnah, you read our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is clearly following Rabbi Akiva. Not much more to talk about, right? Not so fast. So that is Rav Chista's opinion. Rav Chista just looks at it very, very pashut. Our Mishnah is following the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Along comes Abaye. Abaye Amar, no. Afilu Tamer Rabbi Yishmael. So according to Abaye, we could be a little bit fancy. In fact, Abaye is going to be a little bit fancy. Our Mishnah is not limited to the Shita Rabbi Kiva. You can learn our Mishnah like Rabbi Yishmael. Now that's going to require a little bit of footwork, but let's give it a try. Now, in terms of the Girsa of the Gemara over here, it requires a little bit of editing. The Bach edits over here. I'm just going to read what we have in our Gemara. Noted that the Bach does work out the Girsa, but I'm just going to read in either way. In other words, whatever the correct Girsa is, the understand, I'm going to just present the Ron in terms of understanding. So, Afilu Tamer Rabbi Yishmael, Masis and Talia Nafsha be Yume, Breis and Talia Nafsha be Nisuin. Shalma Yuma Velonis Garsha, Shalma Yuma Velonis Nava. Okay. So, and now that I read it, so I'll just explain. And again, my entire explanation is all based on the Ron. Let's consider. In other words, there is what seems to be almost an identical pattern of the Mishnah and the Brisa. The Mishnah talks about an Amira with a delay for the Chalos. The Brisa talks about an Amira with a delay for the Chalos. Good. But there is, however, a really striking difference between the Mishnah and the Brisa. I already mentioned it, but now we get to focus on it. And that is in the Mishnah, so what's the delay a function of? Time. In the Brisa, what's the delay a function of? An event. Oh. So what Abaye is now going to argue is the following. If the delay is an event, like the Brisa, so then Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva are going to split on this. Why? Because if the delay is based on an event, specifically, not just any event, but either marriage or the termination of the marriage, so now you know that in the Amir she'll be in one state, and in the Chalos she'll be in a different state. State over here meaning either she'll be married, not married, or she'll be not married, married. Meaning when the delay is going to be a function of either her marriage or her divorce, by definition we know that either during the Amira or during the Chalos, she will either be available or unavailable for Afar, by definition. And now, we necessarily are going to have to pick a side. We're going to have to pick a side. Meaning, is it the Amira or is it going to be the Chalos? In the Bryce's case, she will not be eligible for Afar for both, only for one of the two. Oh. And there, Rabbi Shmuel is of the position that we're going to have to pick a side. And again, Rabbi Shmuel's side is Chalos. He's on Team Chalos. Okay? And Rabbi Kiva's on Team Amira. However, when you go back to the Mishnah, it could be that Rabbi Shmuel will agree to Rabbi Kiva. Why? Because the delay is a function of time. Now, time doesn't necessarily mean she'll be in a different state. Meaning, 30 days, right? So let's say she's married and she says, I'm going to be in Nazira 30 days from now. There's a real possibility that she'll still be married 30 days from now. And most of the time, a married woman will remain married 30 days from now. So over there, when the delay is a function of time, and it could be that she'll be married both during the Amira and during the Chalos, so even Rabbi Shmuel would agree that you could be made for at the point of Amira. So what Abaye tries to do is strike a difference between delay is a function of time versus delay is a function of an event. Specifically, either marriage or the termination of the marriage. That's what Abaye tries to argue. And then our Mishnah is not only going like Rabbi Kiva, it's also going like Rabbi Shmuel as well. Again, if you got all that, great. It's definitely a more complicated way to look at the Machlokas. But in other words, so good. So you have a Machlokas Amarayim between Rav Chista and Abaye, whether or not a Mishnah is limited to the position of Rabbi Kiva, or a Mishnah could also be understood as representing the Shita Rabbi Shmuel.
Within the Mishnah, she also changes her status.
Yeah, but right. But Abaye's point, correct. You're absolutely correct. But Abaye's point is, didn't have to happen.
Didn't have to happen. I mean, it's irrelevant, basically.
Correct. My Mashain came in the Brisa, yeah. Right? The delay is a function of either her getting married or her getting divorced.
Right.
Okay, good. All right. Just finishing up the first half of today's daf, Zaklau. So now, more than two times, but here in our Masechta twice, the Mishnah made a pronouncement of Zaklal. This is a general rule, our Mishnah being one of them. And you know, throughout Shas, we do this every time. You have the word Zaklal. So it comes to include something. What is it coming to include? So we are going to be focusing on two Mishnayos. A Mishnah that we saw earlier in the Masechta, Daf Ayin Aleph. Zaklal Diktani Gabi Nara Murasa. Right? The Mishnah over there reads, right? I'm just citing the Mishnah. Kol shelo yatsa l'rishus atzma sha'achas avio v'ala achram mefir nedareha. Okay? That as long as she has not become an independent, we're going back to the previous parak, right? Where we're talking about joint jurisdiction over her neder, and both the father and the arus are going to be made for the neder. So, lasuye, so what is that coming to include? Meaning, the Zaha clause telling me, in all times that there is joint jurisdiction, so there is going to be joint hafara. Okay, wonderful. But what is that coming to include? So, lasuye, halachav, im shluchei abal, o shahachu shluchei av, im shluchei haba'am, benara marasa davi, o vala mefir nadirah. So what we have is over here is Mesira L'Shliach. Okay. We all know. There are two stages of marriages, Erusin and Nisun. We also know, we've established it at length in the 10th Perek, that when do you have joint jurisdiction? At the point of Erusin. Meaning when she's an Arusa, she's a Nara Marasa. So now, the father and the Arus have joint jurisdiction over that Neder, and you need the joint Hafara of the two of them. Great. Now, what is going to change your status? This is the second stage of marriage. What is the second stage of marriage? So it's what you and I traditionally call chuppah. What is the definition of chuppah? Ask anyone who knows a little bit of Gemara, a little bit of Halacha. Ask him what chuppah is, and you're going to watch them stutter. Right? You could do it with me. Right? Right? I'm not going to do it right now, but ask me what chuppah is. Okay? The Gemara never gives clear definition of what chuppah is, and so the Rishonim debate exactly what chuppah is, and good. So, and hopefully not stutter, by the way. Hopefully, giving an assortment of positions amongst the Rishonim of what exactly it is. Okay. In other words, whatever chuppah is, it is. Okay. Sorry for the ambiguity, but for our purposes, we're just going to call it chuppah and be done with it. So, at the point of chuppah, now she has transitioned from being an arusa to being an asua. Once she's an asua, so now the father is totally out of the picture, and now the husband has the executive power of hafara. Note, as we already noted, even in today's daf alone, he can't be made for any of her nadarim that were historical. Okay, but from this point going forward, the husband and only the husband can be made for nadarim. Great. What we're learning now is the following, and it's an interesting topic in of itself, and that is what's called misira. Now, what happens is the following: what happens when she goes from being an arusa to an asua? So she literally moves houses. During Erusin, she lived at home with her parents. Okay. It's a strange stage of marriage, right? She's married, but she's living with her parents, separate from her husband. In fact, the Gemara notes, the Rambam writes this, that during Erusin, they're not allowed to be together intimately. Fine. And then what happens is that she moves from her house into her husband's house when she goes from being an Arusa to being an Asua. Now, traditionally, right, that would be marked by the Chuppah. However, there's something what's called Mesira, where what he does is that he picks her up. Either he picks her up, or he sends a shlich to go ahead and pick her up. And once he does so that is another way of transforming her status from being an Arusa to being an Asua. And this is what's called Mesira. Now, Mesira works, yes and no. Meaning, that's exactly what we're learning together right now. And that is that if the father sends either himself or representative, together with the husband shliach, we do not have mesira formal as of this moment in time. That's exactly what I just read. So im, right? I made up the word im. Halacha avim shluchei abal. Oh, she'achu shluchei avim shluchei abal. So now she still is a nara hameurasa. Oh, it begs the question, by the way. In other words, so this idea of Mesira, what is that? In other words, is that basically a total substitution for chuppah? Meaning, does that serve as a form of chuppah? That's a next level discussion. I raise the question. I'm not answering it right now, but it's worthwhile to think about. And so watch what happens next. Oh, perfect setup. So Zehaklal diktani gabi ve'elin nedarim. Now, what about our Zehaklal? Meaning the Zehaklal of this parak, the one that we just did in today's daf. So lasui masar avlo shulchei abal shemasu shulchei avlo shulchei abal she'ina bal mefer bekodmim. And now, what happens if you have mesira, and that's it? Father says goodbye to her. The father doesn't go together with the shlich with the husband shlichim. He doesn't send his own shliach together with the shlichim. So in other words, at that point in time, so she has now transitioned from being an arusa to now being a nesuah. And it's at that point in time, now the husband can be mefer. Okay. Happens to be, I prepare every day. But in other words, I read the notes. There is a lengthy discussion to be had over here. Ben, basically your question, meaning, is this really now going to be like chuppah? Meaning she now is like transformed into a bona fide nesuah at that point in time. Meaning it's mesira, it's not chuppah, or maybe mesira is a form of chuppah. Okay, so I understand there's a lot to cover in this little bit of Gemara in terms of what exactly mesira is. But anyway, but just to say pshat in the Gemara, simple pshat in the Gemara. So there is a zaklal in the previous parak. There's a zaklal in this parak, and they're both highlighting this unique circumstance of mesira. That when I have Mesira, it depends on whether or not the father is going with the Shliach, or a representative of the father is going with the Shliach, or that's it. The father kisses his daughter goodbye, and she goes with the Shliach. In the former case, she's still Nara Marasa, with joint jurisdiction. In the latter case, that's it. She's now under the sole jurisdiction of her husband.
It's as though the father's absence determines the domain she's entering into.
Yeah, correct, correct. Absolutely correct. Okay, let's start with the next Mishnah. Now, the next Mishnah is going to have our head spinning. Even though, quite frankly, the Gemara is going to point this out. Even though, quite frankly, it's really simple. In other words, there comes a point in time where the father loses his jurisdiction over his daughter. Three different markers are going to note exactly when she leaves the jurisdiction of the father. And what the Mishnah is going to do is going to give us 9 different cases. Now, as the Gemara itself is about to point out, it's not 9 different cases. It's really 3 different categories. It just happens to be that what the Mishnah is going to do is that the Mishnah is going to break it down. Each one of the 3 categories is going to break down to 3 cases. But when all said and done, when you shake the Mishnah and distill the Mishnah, it really just comes down to 3 categories. Okay? And so why is the Mishnah being more confusing and complex than it needs to be? So the Ryan over here quotes the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, L'chadir satamidim. Meaning, if we're going to be now scratching our head a little bit right now, breaking our teeth over all the case of the Mishnah, perfect. In other words, mission accomplished. Meaning that over here, in other words, we want to be cognitively sharper. So you go through a mission like this, and it's a little bit more complicated than it needs to be. And okay. And by the way, in other words, generally speaking, as far as Mishnayos are concerned, so derech kitzara, right? The best way, I'm not saying, the Gemara says this, right? The best way for the Mishnah to present information is the shortest and most efficient manner possible. And yet, over here, okay, so the Mishnah is going to buck its normal trend, and the Mishnah over here is going to give us multiple examples, 9 cases in total. Again, if you want to break it down nice and simple, we're going to do so after we finish the Mishnah. Okay, so Bogeres v'Yisama. So number one, I'm gonna count it out. It's gonna be 9 different cases. So Bogeres v'Yisama. So she was already a Bogeres, and on top of that, she also happens to be a Yisama. Now Yisama over here literally means orphan, but Yisama could also mean Chaye Avia, even in the lifetime of her father. So and that means to say, how do you become a orphan while your father's still alive? So we all know. In other words, halachically speaking, once she goes through marriage, even if the marriage terminates, but as long as she's gone through both stages of marriage, eres and nisuin, and then the marriage terminates for whatever reason, either death or divorce, so now she is a yisoma bechaye avia, an orphan while her father's alive. Orphan just simply meaning over here that she is cut off from the father. Father no longer has jurisdiction. So bogeres v'yisoma. So she's a bogeres and she's a yisoma. Now, the Mishnah is superfluous, meaning either one of those would cut off the father's jurisdiction. That's case number one. Nara ubagra v'yisoma. She is a Nara when she made a neder. Then she becomes a Bogeres. And on top of that, also she's a Yisoma. Okay. And again, a lot of extra information necessary other than the simple point of she's a Yisoma. And Nara Shalobagra Vihi Yisoma. Alternatively, she's a Nara, and she wasn't a Bogeris, but she's a Yisoma. In other words, she is halachically cut off from the father. Okay, so 1, 2, and 3. Okay, so you'll note already, I'm giving it all away, but Good. That's my job. So the so you'll note over here that what's the common denominator of all three cases? She's the Yesoma. And the other details are details. But in other words, but the critical marker of the first three cases, she's the Yesoma. Okay, let's do 4, 5, and 6. Case number 4. Bogeris umeis avia. She's a Bogeris and her father dies. Before she made the neder. Nara, that's 4. Number 5. Nara, Bogeris umeis avia. She was a Nara. She's now a Bogeris and her father dies. Number 6. Nara shelo bagra umeis avia. So the, so over here, in cases 4, 5, and 6, so what is going to be your common denominator of those cases?
The father dies.
Cases 7, 8, and 9. Nara shemes avia umishemes avia bagra. So Nara, her father died, and from the death of her father, she becomes a bogeres. Bogeres, this is number 8. Viavia kayam, or her father's alive. Number 9, Nara. Bogeres viavia kayam. She was a Nara when she made the neder. Afterwards, she becomes a bogeres. Her father's still alive. Okay, so those are 9 cases. So, and then Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afa Masi Bito Ketana Benesamanu Nizkarsha V'Chazra Etzlo Adaini Nara. So the so let's say that her father married her off while she was a Ketana, and then she gets divorced or widowed while she's a Ketana. So even though she's a Ketana, she does not go back to her father halachically. She does not rejoin the father under the father's jurisdiction. Okay. And presumably, the Chachamim don't agree with Rabbi Yehuda. That point is open for a discussion, although we're not going to discuss it. But, Am Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Zudiv Rabbi Yehuda, V'Chachamim Amrim Shalosh, Na'aros Nidreim Chayamim, Bogeres Yisoma V'Yisoma B'Chayei Ha'av. Okay. And so Rav tells us in the Gemara that our Mishnah is a product of Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning, the idea that our Mishnah is broken down to 9 cases, it's not 9 cases. It's really 3 categories. And you could distill the Mishnah. And the Mishnah could just simply be distilled into 3 categories. The Mishnah gave us 9 different cases. Yeah. And again, the Ran repeats himself over here, what he said back in the Mishnah. L'chadir es ha-talmidim. It's just there to sharpen us. Meaning, what we're supposed to do, I mean, it's what we did when we learned the Mishnah, is look at each of the 3 cases, 3, 3, and 3, and we're supposed to basically find the common denominator of each set of 3, and then we extract what we just learned together. There really are 3 cases. There are 3 categories: Bogeres, Yesoma, and Yesoma Bechayav. Okay, just because it's this week's parsha, meaning last week's parsha. But in other words, the pattern of 3, 3, and 3, you're going to find that by the Makos, right? The Rav Yehuda. Okay, I know it's you know, I'm not really drawing any kind of real parallel between them, but Rav Yehuda Hayanosim Em Simanim. Rav Yehuda would give a mnemonic to help us remember the Makos, Tetzach Hadash Ba'achav, and it's really, I understand Ba'achav is 4, but really it's patterns of 3. And the Mefarshim and Chumash say this is not news. If you'll look carefully at the Makos, you'll see that basically it's sets of 3. All right, Makos Bechoros keep to the side. In other words, it's for Makos 1, 2, and 3, it's warning, warning, no warning. Same thing for 4, 5, 6, warning, warning, no warning. Same thing for 7, 8, 9. Okay, great. Now, just...
It seems like Rabbi Yehuda's last statement in the Mishnah is really not a contradiction, but it's the underlying principle for all the other cases that he's been saying.
It could be. Meaning, the...
Based on this principle, he's getting all these like subdivisions.
Right. That last point to Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah... Right, it's not clear whether or not he's making a novel statement, a controversial statement. Would the Chachamim agree with that? I know. I'm glossing it over. I'm recognizing that. Okay, let's.
What's the benefit of breaking it into 9?
Yeah. Again. The only thing I could share with you is what I already shared. The Ran says, quoting the Yerushalmi, it's lechadid. It's to sharpen us. Okay. Konim sheininen la'aba la'avicha. Let's do the following. Let's leave this mission off for tomorrow. Really, it's a brand new sugya. It goes well into tomorrow's daf. It really is tomorrow's daf. Okay, let's pause over here. Okay, let's quickly recap. Let's review our basic points for today. Number 1, you have a neder with a delayed chalos, and the husband's going to be mefer. So What's the critical point for Afara? So what do we know? We know that the Mishnah says Amira, right? Our Mishnah tells us that Amira is really the critical point. We also know the Mishnah tells us that the first Mishnah of today's daf, if that for a moment in time she becomes independent, right? In other words, on the same day where she made her neder while she was married, she got divorced or she got widowed, she got remarried, right? The widowed remarried, by the way, that's unusual. Anyway, the point is that even if she gets remarried that same day, the new husband can't be made for a neder. Why? Because there was sha'achas. There was a moment in time where she was not under any jurisdiction. And as a result of that, the new husband, he could be made for nedarim, but only mikan ulahaba, but not anything historically. Okay, good. So those are the two points of the Mishnah. And then the first sugya that we did together today introduced ourselves to Machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, regarding what's significant, Amira Chalos. Rabbi Kiva says Amira, Rabbi Shmuel says Chalos, and Rav Chista does what is pretty straightforward. And then you go back to our Mishnah, which is a Stam Mishnah, and who's our Mishnah Fang? Like Rabbi Akiva. Good. What Abaye does, a little fancy footwork for today, and that is that Abaye takes our Mishnah and says that our Mishnah could even be going like Rabbi Shmuel. Aye, Rabbi Shmuel says that Chalos is a significant point, not the Amira. And what Abaye does is make a distinction between a delay as a function of time, a delay as a function of an event. And they're different. Okay? And that, admittedly, that's fancy. Then we went on to our next sugya today, and that is the Teisha Naros. I didn't even highlight when we read the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Teisha Naros. Naros over here is a loose term. Right? Nara usually, Gantz Mishnayos. Nara usually is a reference to a very specific period of time where she is 12 years of age, she has simonim, and then for the next 6 months, she's a naira. Good. Our Mishnah using the word naira is not referring specifically to that. I know that because what our Mishnah then goes on to describe is, when is she no longer available for hafara? So, and one of the three categories is when she's a bogeris. So the word naira over here in the Mishnah just simply means young woman. Okay. So anyway, so there are nine different examples given in the Mishnah where the father can't be made for nedarim. And so what are the nine? I'm not going to go through all nine again. But anyway, what the Gemara points out is that really when you distill it, it comes out to three different categories. Category number one, she's a bogeris. Okay? Full matriculation, full maturation of a woman halachically. After 12 and a half years of age, assuming that she had simanim at 12, so at 12 and a half years of age, she now becomes a bogeris. And now halachically, totally independent of the father. Father no longer has jurisdiction to be made for nedarim. Two, Yisoma, meaning actual Yisoma, her father died. And three is going to be Yisoma Bechaye Ha'av, where the father's alive, but she still is separated from the father. How so? Through marriage. In other words, she got married either while she was a Ketan or while she was a Nara, and then the marriage terminated. She does not go back to the father. Good. Adkan, that's where we'll end today. Good. Thank you.